What up, bro?
What's good?
I'm here.
No, you need to be. We gonna be excited. We gonna be excited because it was it was a great holiday on December 10th.
Okay, I'm here and we survived some chaos. And yes, it is. It was a holiday. Is that what we're going with?
It was a, don't do that. It was an international holiday because it was my birthday. Okay. Who am I? I am Sky. Sky here. I am from Southwest Atlanta. Wait. No. That's not how I'm supposed to say it. I am Southwest Atlanta fresh. And now I'm with the Beach Decor. So I am Southern California blessed. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? This is your girls. Sills, two up, two down, VA, all day. You know what it is, chilling in the PNW where we've had all four seasons, I feel, in the past like 3 or 4 days. So, but yeah, life is good. It's my favorite time of year in WSL off season. So
I'm excited. Sagittarius season, that's what it is. What's good, Sagittarius? Stand up, sus to y'all out here. We in the streets, we out here. But anyway, who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin,
lay your edges,
and deepen your love for all things black women.
And so this week, we're going to have a short show. Well, because we're going to have multiple shows. This will make sense later. But anyway, we're going to talk. Oh, my bad. What are we going to do?
That's okay. You got excited. It's fine. So this week, we are talking about the chaos that was the NWSL trade window. Because, whoo.
Chaos. What are rules? They don't exist.
Yeah.
Then we're going to give our next installment of our Pimp Your Squad segment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, once again, because I feel like we do this almost every week, we will be opening up the Shea Butter FC library to talk about some things.
Sanctuary, Seance Center, all that shit. Yes. And then, as always, we're going to bring our hits and riffs, rants and raves, the week.
Yeah, I feel like we both have themes this week for hits and riffs. This should be fun.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, we might as well get into it, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this trade window. What
where
is a trade
we, where
window?
Are we starting?
Is it a window? Or is it like a sliding glass door?
In theory, so y'all, in theory, was it the 6th to the 10th?
Yes, supposedly.
Was when the trade
allegedly
was open for teams to be allowed to do deals, make trades, protect themselves in the expansion draft, all that fun stuff. And deals did get done within the trade window.
Yes.
Some did not. Doesn't mean we don't know about them. There's a lot here because what are rules, as Sky said in the NWSL?
They don't exist. What is
no collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
So, yes. So I guess we can give the people a quick rundown of what we do know.
Let's give them a rundown.
So yeah, let's get into it. So the first, I feel one of the first major moves with Chicago Red Stars. I feel like the day the trade window opened, they made a few moves to get protection from both expansion team, so Angel City and Wave FC. I was always gonna do it. Oh, San Diego Wave Football Club is technically their name, but
allegedly
we're going to call them Wave FC because it's fun. Courtney, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Coach Stiff.
She's coach/GM Stiff. Yes.
Yes.
She's gonna be so mad when she hears it. That's fine. But anyway. In those deals for protection from Angel City, they sent the rights, I guess we're doing it that way, of Sarah, reigning Iron Woman and best 11 player, Sarah Gordon, and reigning World Cup champion, Julie Ertz, along with an international spot to Angel City.
What? Oh, that's nice. Continue.
And that's in exchange for full protection. And then for full protection from San Diego, they traded Katie Johnson, as well as the rights to Mackenzie Duniak and college forward, though I don't think she is anymore, Kelsey Turnbow, plus $25,000, in allocation money to Wave FC. So,
wow,
Chicago cannot be affected by the expansion draft anymore, as well as we should make a note. I don't know if this is down in our notes. We're literally reading from notes because it's too much information. They also took all of their allocated players off of allocation.
Yep.
So that means Listener, Turner, Davidson, Mal Pugh,
Casey Short.
And Casey Krueger, sorry, are all now off of allocation and will be paid directly by the Chicago Red Stars.
Yes.
And just a little last bit of Chicago Red Stars news. They are forming a committee that has all parties represented to do their coaching search. So they're hoping for January, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. That owner's still there, though. So we got to talk about that. Okay. Next, am I reading all these?
Yes, yes, you are.
Okay, I'm reading all these. Okay.
I will give my input.
Teacher voice.
Yeah, your teacher voice.
Kansas City, who already has full expansion draft protection as part of their agreement for when they bought essentially the Utah Royals and became the Kansas City, now current. That was part of that deal. However, they made a trade. And we might have mentioned this last episode, I don't know. But they did trade with the North Carolina Courage, to have Sam Lewis become their midfielder, essentially. They traded for that. I think they just sent money back to...
No, and Kiki Pickett.
Kiki Pickett and money. Did they send one more player? I feel like they sent one more player.
No, I thought it was Kiki Pickett and money.
It might just be Kiki Pickett and money. But yes, so that was, and that was really the first big trade that hit when the trade window was open.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of North Carolina, they have sent the rights to Kerry Ricardo.
Yes.
Angel City, and the rights of, Welsh names are hard for me sometimes.
Angered
James, thank you.
Yes.
San Diego and
Wabe. Those,
San Diego Wabe FC. In exchange for those two trades, they have full protection from both expansion teams.
Additionally, they also did who? What else did North Carolina
do? Today, North Carolina picked up Jorian Bauckham, who we will definitely be talking about later.
Woo!
And, she's Canadian. Why can't I think? Is it not Latsko?
Jordan Listo.
Listo, thank you. I was like, it's not Latsko.
And they also from Gotham got Brianna Pinto.
Yes. So, I don't even know if we mentioned that last time. Yes, they sent $125,000 in allocation money and got Brianna Pinto in return. So, the underdog Courage aren't looking quite as underdogish.
Man, they're gonna be stacked. Before. Y'all let them stack. In the words of the homie Liz, y'all let them become like the dart.
The
dark star, the Death Star.
Yeah, the Death Star.
To come through.
You can tell how much you watch Star Wars.
Y'all let them
them reassemble. You literally let them.
Yeah,
and they re-signed Carson Pickett, and now they have the Pickett fence. Oh, God, that's gonna get old real fast. But they now have the Pickett fence on that back line. So, they
improved. Even have Zabinia and Brianna Pinto in the midfield.
Yeah, they improved a lot. And didn't have to give up a lot to do it.
By the way, I just want to say this while we're here. Brianna Pinto is about as good as Katerina Cario and Trinity Rodman. I just want that to be understood.
And she's home, right? Yes. She's from North Carolina. She played at UNC. Like, she's home. So I think for her, just in terms of adjustment to the pro league and really being in a nourishing environment, I do think that's a really good landing.
I'm not even gonna get to it. I'm not gonna go there.
I mean, that's a different. But
in the 4-2-2, whatever they deploy it,
I don't know if that's
about to eat. Whatever they run, she's about to live the beautiful life.
I wouldn't necessarily run that tactically, but we'll see.
Yeah, I wouldn't run either.
Sean Nahas does, and they do have a coach permanently. Sean Nahas did sign his contract, so and by all accounts, is a very nice man. So. Yeah. Which are not, or seem fleeting in that league. But I do imagine he'll have a slightly different tactical outlook with the new player. Yeah. So, and they still have Lynn Williams, though she is currently on loan.
Scoring goals.
W League in Melbourne. Right. Scored her first goal basically when she got on the pitch.
Yes.
And it was the game winner.
Yes.
And for those that don't know, Lynn Williams' partner, Marley, is from Melbourne. And so that's a really easy transition. She literally went to go play in Australia with the national team and stayed. And good for her. They haven't seen
her in
almost 2 years with the pandemic. So it's a second home to her and she's very comfortable there. So she will be back for the start of the NWSL season though. So,
all right.
So yeah, we have that. Sorry, we're rambling.
Yes.
Next.
All right.
My team doing some convoluted stuff. So OL Reign officially traded their 36th pick Wyoming has a lot of draft picks, by the way. Just want to put that out there. We've traded our 36th pick in this year's college draft and $25,000 in allocation money to protect our forwards from Angel City. We have listed our forwards as Bethany Balser, Ciara King, Leah Pruitt, Megan Rapinoe, and Ali Watt.
Yes.
This is pretty strategic. It's very specific. It's really odd to protect a group of players from one team and not the other. So who knows what conversations were had, but I'm very okay with that.
I mean, Ali Watt or Ziara King would have looked very, would have been great in the rose gold and black.
Correct. And
white.
I don't know if Sandy, the Wave is looking for a forward from us. We'll get into who I think each team will pick from.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hold that thought.
Yeah, I'll hold that. But that deal happened. The Portland Thorns, who were very quiet till the end there, have received expansion protection from Angel City. And for that, they traded Simone Charlie.
Yes, let's go.
And Tyler Lucy.
Let's go.
$1,000 of allocation money. And the second pick, second round pick in this year's entry. We call it, technically it's the college draft because that's when most people come through, but the entry draft, which will be this Saturday. So I feel like Angel City got a lot on that one. Yes. They got the money, right?
They got the money. They got the...
Oh, wow. And a second round pick. Okay.
Right. That's... And you got Simone Charlie and Tyler Lucy. Come on, Shawty.
You got your aerial threat. And goal scorer. Simone Charlie was very much in the Golden Boot race until she was injured.
Right.
This past season with Portland. So I think that's a really good get. Rossing Lobo received expansion protection a while ago, right? For the rights to Kristen Press, they received protection and $75,000 in allocation money. And so they are completely protected from Angel City, but not from San Diego. The Spirit did another wild trade. So the Spirit, again with Angel City, traded the rights to their midfielder, M.A. Is it M.A. or
Mignola?
Mignola is M.A.
M.A.
Ma. Call her. It might is be it wrong to call her young?
I think she goes Ma. She, Marianne, but I think she goes Mom.
I'm going to call her young. Ma or younger than. We're going to go with that for now on. That's affectionate, I promise. I mean, I still call Sandy Baltimore Charlie Baltimore, and I call Michelle Kane, K Michelle. it works. It all works.
Hello, new listeners. Welcome.
Hi, new listeners. Get some culture. but yes, M.A. Vignola is going to Angel City for $30,000 in funded allocation money and full protection. Sorry, not full protection. Of their allocated players, which Sky and I just mean, it just technically that's Kelly O'Hare, Emily Sonnet, and Andy Sullivan, but it's Andy Sullivan.
Yeah, we're protecting Andy Sullivan.
Because I absolutely snatched Andy Sullivan up, so I get it.
Easily.
So they are not a full, it's not a full roster protection. So Angel City will still get to choose a Spirit player. And San Diego also made a trade with Washington, and this is for full roster protection. So San Diego cannot pick a Spirit player in the draft. And they did this in exchange for the rights to Tegan McGrady and the natural first round pick that the Spirit will receive from OL Reign because of Rose LaFell.
Yeah.
In this coming draft on Saturday. That's a lot, but we'll try to write that out for people later. And there's a full list of this stuff as well. Finally, yes, on this list, Gotham, New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Has received expansion protection from both Angel City and Wave FC. And they did this by trading both of their goalkeepers. So they traded Kaylin Sheridan to San Diego for protection and $130,000 in allocation money. And for Angel City, they traded Didi Harisich, who is the backup goalkeeper for Gotham, in exchange for $50,000 in allocation money and expansion protection. And because they were losing both goalkeepers, Gotham made a trade with Orlando to receive both Ashlyn Harris and Allie Krieger to their team. And I think they traded a pick and maybe some cash to Orlando.
Yeah, I think so.
It was definitely a pick, and maybe a second or third round pick. So that they now have a goalkeeper, and I'm assuming we'll find a backup goalkeeper as well as an extra defender. That was an interesting trade. Orlando stayed pretty tight, though they're clearly making deals. Are we gonna talk about that now? Or are we talking about that later?
Later. We open the library. All right, we'll go. We gonna deal with that. Okay, that's an interesting situation.
So those are essentially the official trades. I'm trying to think. Do we miss anybody?
No, not anybody.
It's been
that
a lot of madness. So
there's other stuff that's going on, but it's not official yet.
There's other stuff happening. There's a lot of handshake, wink, wink, deals being made in name only right now until.
Unless they just put out a video.
People trying to put out rules, you know, follow rules. But what are those? We're very serious. Rules do not exist.
I mean, they just put out a video.
Yeah. And
multiple videos.
We'll get to that later. And also, there's more chaos to come this week because, in between the drafts, there are two drafts this week, and we'll talk about that later as well, but they're going to be on Thursday, the 16th, and that's the expansion draft, and then Saturday, the 18th, will be the traditional draft, and in between that, on the 17th, the trade window opens back up. So you thought it was chaotic before. It's going to be real chaotic because rosters will be set, but college players will not have been drafted yet.
Yep, and people will be moved.
And there are some
musical chairs.
Big names coming in that college draft. It's gonna be real interesting.
Yes.
Okay. So as of now and officially, those are the trades that have been made. More to come.
Yes.
All right. So now that we have all of that information,
it's time to pimp your squad. Okay. The expansion draft edition.
Do you want to explain to the people?
Oh, so if you don't know, so Pimp Your Squad, similar to Pimp My Ride back in the day. I'm not explaining that. That's when you pimp your little hoopty, your little bootleg car, your Pacer, and you make it a transformer.
Okay.
You make it into a deluxe Pacer.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it got flames and stuff. Anyway, we're going to pimp your squad. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to look at these protected lists, unprotected lists, and see who we would take if we were Angel City, the greatness that is the franchise.
All right. Sky is a little biased. New listener, Sky is an Angel City fan. So you should.
I'm the hype machine. I'm out here. Anyway, hook me up with some jerseys, y'all. I'm out here doing the Lord's work. And then also, I mean, my favorite players are playing. Yes. Anyway. And then also the San Diego Wave, you know. We gonna pick squads for them. We gonna pick our people. And then we gonna even go look at the NCC, the Gothams, and the KCs, and the Red Stars to see what we would have done. We're gonna end on Gotham because that'll lead us into the next segment. But anyway, so let's start with Houston. Is this the first one?
Yeah, Houston. And I know we did a brief Pimpio squad based on Houston because they were the first team out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they have officially put out their list and Houston made no moves. They might have made some cuts, but they didn't make any trade moves during the game. So they are playing the we'll do it after card.
Yep.
Which is an absolutely fair play. We will read off their protected players.
Yeah, so just read out the protected.
Their protected players are Jane Kebble, who is a Federation player, so it means she's allocated. And that's goalkeeper. Rachel Daly, who is occupying an international spot. Makame Gamora Stevens. I can say that.
Look at you.
Go Cougs. I can say that. who is a striker more than anything else. A forward striker. Shea Groom, midfielder, attacker. Haley Hansen. I don't remember what position she plays. That's really bad. Katie Naughton, which I'm not surprised, defender. Michelle Prince, who is a Canadian Federation player, though nobody actually knows what allocation for Canadian players actually means, and is a forward. Maria Sanchez, who is a striker, I'm pretty sure, and plays in Liga MX Femenil as well. And then Gabby Seiler, who is a midfielder, I want
to say. Yes.
So their unprotected list is pretty long.
Yes. Who we possibly would take
so
interesting players.
I think a few people of note that we can name So they chose not to protect their defenders, Michelle Chapman, who is an Olympic gold medalist and has been with Houston, I think, for most of her career in the NWSL. They also did not protect Megan Oyster.
Yes.
They did not protect Sophie Schmidt, who's been a staple for that organization as well.
Uh-huh.
On defense, the biggest name on here is definitely Christy Mewis.
Yes.
And then also they did not protect Jasmine Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
Or Michaela Abam.
Mm-hmm.
Or Michelle Alosi. The delegation. I think they cut Fields.
Yes, they cut Fields. That's okay. Interesting.
Yeah, and I don't see Blackwood listed, but I feel like she might be on loan. I can't remember right now.
She might be.
But okay. So those are some of the notable names. Obviously, there's other players, and there are player rights, including players who've long since retired.
Yeah. But we'll be here forever if we go.
Yeah, I'm not going to name that. I'm just letting people know what these lists look like. Combination.
Yes. Wise. Yes. There's okay. A lot of people. Okay. So
you go first.
Okay. So if I'm pimping squads, so for how Angel City's probably going to try to attack people mm-hmm. and dismantle people, and probably is building a juggernaut, I want a very versatile player. First of all, I ask questions. Is Christy Mewis about to move to London? Because if she's moving to London, then okay, we just need to. She clearly that's why she's unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't see her going to San Diego.
No.
Not at all. If you don't know anything about U.S. women's national team history, that's not happening. So then this really would be Angel City. But I think Angel City probably picks Jasmine Spencer.
Because
low-key, the versatility is phenomenal. And you can put her forward. She can defend. She could be phenomenal wingback.
She plays all three lines.
She plays all three lines.
Well, yeah.
She plays them well. And I mean, I would be thinking too, when you don't have U.S. Women's National Team people in mm-hmm. play, although this could elevate her to the national team. There's so much appeal. She was one of my MVPs for Houston, actually.
Yeah,
so that's why I would take really her.
Good for the team.
So I would take her or Christy Mewis, honestly.
Yeah.
In terms of the Wabe, Jasmine Spencer too. I mean,
yeah, of course. It depends on their need.
Yeah, it depends on their need. I don't know what's going on.
I guess
I said Jasmine Spencer.
Yeah, and she could very much fit both. I think for me, yeah, the big question is why is Christy Mewis unprotected? I mean, there are rumors that she might be signing for Tottenham. She was photographed training with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be really honest. She's very out, and she is currently in a relationship with Sam Kerr, who plays for Chelsea.
Who just extended her contract.
So she extended her contract to 2024, I believe, with Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if they don't want to do long distance, that would make sense for them. And Christy Mewis is out of contract and she's not protected. So she can go to London without a lot of issue. However, if you're going to sit Christy Mewis there and I can get her for no money, I would take her. Particularly if I'm Angel City and I need more midfielders.
If she's going to play, yes.
If she's going to play.
If she's not.
Caveat, if she's not going to play, that's a wasted pick, even if you don't have to spend money for her. I would take, if I were Angel City, Jasmine Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
If I couldn't get Jasmine Spencer, I would take Michaela then.
Yeah.
I want that extra striker.
Yes.
If I'm San Diego, I might say Megan Oyster.
Hmm. Okay.
I can see Megan Oyster going, or I don't think they take Chapman or Schmidt.
No.
I honestly think they would have gone Skylar or Gamora Stevens, but they protected them.
They protected all the people that I thought
that
they would possibly
take. San Diego would want to let, maybe Latsko, but I would say probably Oyster if she's available. If it's the opposite, maybe San Diego takes Jasmine Spencer, and then Angelsea's got to figure out who they take. But probably one of those same players. They need a midfielder, so they probably pluck a midfielder. So I'm thinking Oyster, and I think she's a defender too, or Latsko, somewhere along those lines.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I've got for them.
Okay. All right.
All right. So again, caveat: this, the forwards cannot be taken by Angel City. So I'll do this first, since I've had a lot of time to think about it. I don't know who gets to pick first. My assumption is that we will lose Danny Weatherholt to San Diego, and we will lose Sam Hyatt to Angel City.
Come to Angel City, yes.
Both of those hurt. my theory, if they're a defender from Stanford, you always take them, because I think Stanford does an exceptional job of teaching defense, like actual defense, to their defenders. So yeah, I think it's the order. I honestly could also see Casey Stoney taking Sam Hyatt and Angel City taking Danny Weatherholt, because they need a midfielder. Like, I think it's those two, whatever team gets to pick first.
What if they take the ZR King?
Don't do that to me.
I'm sorry. I was just saying for San Diego. I just make an odds.
Yeah, San Diego is the only team that can take ZR King. I trust my front office. But yeah, they could. They could take them. I think this is a pretty strategic list, though.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, I foresee Angel City probably is about to bring Sam Hyatt home.
Sam Hyatt's from here, so. She's from the North.
Well, my bad. The new home. She can have a home down here. Not do that. Anyway, so she, it don't matter. She can have a home in LA. She's been on the beaches of Costa Rica. She will be very fine in LA. And yeah, I can totally see San Diego taking Danny Weatherholt. Yeah, you have to deal. But man, if San Diego takes ZR. I'm sorry. They shouldn't.
Yeah,
but they did. I understand it.
They can do whatever they want.
ACFC about to be stacked. Like,
okay, yeah, that's fair.
All right, so let's do Orlando. Orlando. They protected Michaela Callahan. She's college protected. Taylor Korniak, Sydney the great LaRue.
Yes.
Phoebe McLaren.
Yes.
Alex Morgan,
mm-hmm.
who is the allocated player. This is very interesting, and you'll hear about later.
Yeah.
Courtney Peterson.
Yes.
Amy Turner, English international. Marta, the legend, and Viviana
Villacorta.
Yeah. Which they should have, because she was the draft pick who got hurt, right? She tore ACL?
Yeah. I think she went to UCLA.
And she was good. She went to UCLA, and she was really, really good.
Yeah,
so that
I
was
remember the hype around her. I think she was.
She's really, really good. She must be healing on up. So
she was first round pick. Yeah, I remember that.
So let's see for who's available out here in these streets.
Right. So there's a few good players unprotected. They have a few rights. They have Shalina Zdarsky's rights. Okay, sorry. I see over in Tottenham. Okay.
You like it over there? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I think
so. This is where it gets interesting. Because some of these questions it depends on the system. So the question San Diego, I'm going to leave San Diego alone because they probably aren't even picking from this list because they have already made their deal for somebody who is protected. In the case of Angel City, Angel City, I'd say go get Sydney LaRue. But from who's unprotected? I don't know. I don't know, man.
It's up to y'all.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Ooh. That's fair.
You go. Who are you thinking?
Okay. In theory, both teams still can pick from Orlando. Yeah, I get why this is a bit of a...
This is hard, because even for both teams, if we ignore what is obvious news...
Yeah. Of all the squads, I think they got it the most right.
Yes.
I mean, I think Abby Kim's underrated.
Yes.
I don't know...
Actually, you know what? Angel City take Abby Kim.
Yeah, I think she's a good, like, round out your team player. She can create.
For San Diego, my thing would be, because Casey Stoney, she would be like, hey,
yeah,
Emily Van Eggman, Shalina Zdorsky, do you want to come play in the United States?
I don't know. They all seem to be happy in England, but maybe for Casey. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Would you want to come play for me?
Okay, so I'm looking at how San Diego's kind of done this.
Whoa, wait a minute, but the other one would be Allie Riley.
See, I thought about that. I'm looking, though, at how San Diego's trying to build this, and in my opinion, they're the more expansion-y of the expansion teams.
Mm-hmm.
So you could use another glue person who's got experience.
So who are you taking?
I might take Tim Rye.
Hmm.
I didn't think she was bad this year. And she's not going to play every game, but I think she's a good person to bring off the bench. She's not going to pan it. You know what her skill set is.
Right.
And I'm just looking at a team who already took Jodie Taylor. Like,
right. True shit. You're right.
You're looking for that experience from somewhere. So,
well, you want to take Sunny.
Oh, Gunstutter? Yeah. You could do Gunstutter too.
That's what I'm saying. So all the internationals, depending, the question is, do you want to come play for me?
True.
That's probably, because that's where
I can see them taking John Stoddard. You're right. Over Tim Ryan. I can see that.
That would be, that's going to be hard.
Yeah.
If that happens.
I looked at McLeod, but I don't think.
Nah.
I
mean,
that's one way to get a backup goalkeeper, but you can draft.
You can just draft one.
Drafts. Yeah.
It's too many to draft.
There's a lot of too many to draft this year, actually.
Yeah. So okay. For Angel City, yeah, Abby Kim is actually the sneaky.
Yeah.
Allie Riley got cooked up too much, sadly.
One, I think that's part of the strategy, and Orlando's clearly going young. So yeah, we'll see what that looks like for them.
Let's go to Portland.
Got three more teams left. Okay. Portland protected list is Bella Bixby, Crystal Dunn, Lindsay Horan, Natalie Cuica, who's an international, Emily Mangus, Olivia Moultrie, Rocky Rodriguez, who is another international, Sophia Smith, Morgan Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
And Sophia Smith is the Federation player.
Yes.
Because Lindsay Horan and Crystal Dunn opted out.
Of
allocation.
Are fully signed to Portland.
So, this one is...
If I was Angel City and was able to do this, I would
Angel City cannot pick from Portland.
Making a point. I just make my comment?
Okay, go ahead.
I would take Mira Ali without question. Yeah. It ain't even a question. It is simple. It is greatness. That is Mira Ali, Simone Charlie, Kristen Press.
Okay. Jesus. Well, okay.
I'm done. I'm done.
And then
all right, okay. So in reality, who would you really take? Okay. In reality for San Diego.
That's interesting.
This is interesting. So we leaving people out here because we really genuinely believe.
Yeah,
that they gonna hold their word and take whoever they're gonna take, or supposedly.
Well, I would say this: there's two people on this list who I know ain't going.
Right. That's Kling and
Rebecca.
Rebecca, they're not going.
Captain America, the real Captain.
Who got demoted because of Jill. Yeah,
that's
So yeah, I'm taking Amir Ali if I'm
saying Okay.
Wait. We're missing people because I didn't scroll down.
Yeah, you
saw the next sheet. Oh, wait a minute now. Hold that down. Hold that. Wait.
Yeah.
Hold on now. Mm-hmm. So we just gonna leave Yasmin Ryan just chilling?
Yeah, that's one of the people I was looking at.
What's going on with Angela Salem? We just leave. What are we doing?
So I have, okay. If Angela Salem is not retiring, we don't know.
Right.
There's a really weird post like right after the season.
Marissa Everett, what are we doing?
You can't protect everybody. That's just the reality. This is hard stuff. Okay. Also, fun fact, Christine Sinclair is on the unprotected list. Nobody's taking Christine Sinclair.
No.
Having said that, we said that the last time Portland did. Never mind. Shut up.
So, why are you bringing that up?
Sorry, Portland.
Why are you doing that?
Sorry, fans. Okay. So I have two thoughts about this. Ooh. If Angela Salem's going to play, I take Angela Salem.
Yes. If she's going to play, yes.
I'm leaning toward they would not put her on the list if they thought she was going to play somewhere else.
Right.
So yeah, I'd probably take Gavin Ryan. So I think she has a really, I think her ceiling's higher.
Yes.
I looked at Marissa Effort though. Also, some of the rights on this list are just...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Amira Ali is right here.
Rachel Van Hollebeck, which is not her name anymore, I don't think, is literally a medical doctor who's like,
yes, up in the air between Amira Ali and probably Yasmin Ryan.
Right.
And if I could swing it, I'd try to get both.
Yeah. If there's a deal to be made, and there might be one.
Right.
There's nothing official yet. But I think as it is listed and what we know right now, I'd be a little hesitant to take Angela Salem just because I don't know what she's going to do. Yasmin Ryan.
I would take Yasmin.
Because
she was low-key real good.
Yes.
And that's a young player to build around. She plays midfield.
She was a rookie this year. Yeah. She's good in attack. So yeah, I think there's a lot of upside there. She was a first or second round pick. She's pretty high pick.
She was like first round. I was surprised I got her.
Yeah, so the ceiling is there for sure. Okay. The next squad is also only going to San Diego can also only pick from facing Louisville. So their protected players are Gemma Bonner in her actual spot. Kristen Davis, who is their college pick, Amina Ekich, Emily Fox, which is pretty much the no-brainer, Cece Kaiser, Katie Lund, Nadia Nadim, international, Freya Olsen, international, Ebony Salmon, international. So
San Diego, who you got?
They're running out of international spots. They got one, maybe two left. Okay, so again, only San Diego can pick. So this is a fun reminder of all the rights they have. So, okay, as of last year's expansion draft, somehow Louisville has the rights to Janine Becky, Caitlin Ford, Tobin Heath, Omawana Kennedy. God. We don't suspect anybody's going to pick those rights up. They did not protect either player of their first two players. So Yuki Nagasato.
It was just crazy.
And Savannah McCaskill have not been protected. Like Madison Merrick was like the third player. They cut Michelle Bezos.
Yes.
Who was their starting goalkeeper from the majority of the season.
Oh, wait a minute. Addison Merrick.
Yeah. They cut out Addison Merrick, one of the first players they picked. Chana Matthews is not protected. Aaron Simon's not protected.
Well, this is hard. Hold on now.
I know. You gotta think about it, huh?
Wait. So it depends on what
I still know
what SD is looking like. Cause people might go, well, you take Yuki. Or they might turn around and go say Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
But Addison Merrick is still good as hell.
Yeah.
And then you're Casey Stoney. So if you can convince Alana Kennedy, Tobin Heath in particular, to come play in San Diego, then you come take those rights. Unless you wanted to flip Alana Tobin for somebody elsewhere, though.
I think Caitlin Ford's a no. I think she's
Caitlin Ford. Happy. I didn't even acknowledge.
I mean, technically, Tobin's at Arsenal. We don't know for how long. Yes. Tobin's another one of those players. Probably not going to San Diego.
Right.
But I don't know.
Hey, you never. So, like I said, for, but it, particularly Alana Kennedy, because the Manchester City
that might be situation, the most likely person. She's not getting Janine back.
Well, I'm saying, this is that Alana Kennedy in particular for Casey Stoney's system. Yeah. I say Tobin Heath because Casey Stoney's system. But Alana Kennedy in particular for Casey Stoney's system. And then Alana Kennedy was trying to come back to the NWSL, apparently. And Man City is a mess because Gareth Taylor don't know what he's doing. That's the only reason considered the rights, but they probably don't touch the rights. The question is it Savannah or is it really Yuki? That's probably who you're picking.
So, okay. I had to think of this as Casey, right? Personally, I'd take Yuki.
Yes.
But I think for Casey's system, Savannah might be the better fit.
Okay.
Even if she's going to start.
Yeah.
Because I think she can play, I'd say higher up on the pitch, but like she can play in her natural position in that system. I mean, I always think Yuki is a good get. She's a great player.
Right.
She's won everything pretty much. And she's a really good leader and she's really good, like for your team's culture and all that other stuff. Like she's one of the best follows on Twitter, like go follow, like for all of those reasons and sees the game in a really smart way. But I feel like from the limited amount we've seen Casey Stoney's teams, it might be Savannah McCaskill.
Mm-hmm.
And you get her for cheap. So so I think that might be it.
Cool. Last team, Washington Spirit,
the reigning champs, the Washington Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they have full immunity from San Diego and their allocated players cannot be taken, which means they are not protected. Their protected players are Dorian Bailey, Aubrey Bledsoe, Bailey Feist, Ashley Hatch, Tara McKeown, Julia Rotter, who's international, Trini Rodman, Ashley Sanchez, Samantha Staub.
So if I'm Angel City, I'll just be like, let me try for Trini Rodman. Okay. Well, now that we're done with that. Yeah. So with the unprotected players who are available.
I'm just laughing because Lori Lindsay's rights are still up here and she's a whole commentator.
I know, right. You coming out the booth? All right. So this is interesting. This is going to depend.
Yeah.
It's probably Hafferty.
Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe Nilsson.
Oh yeah. She's sandwiched in there between player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for me. I could also see Helferty.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for Angel City, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Kumi.
Oh, wait, I'm missing the whole. You're right. Yeah, you know what?
Kumi's
I forgot the whole
one.
Bottom. Honestly, wait a minute. Bump all that. Yeah. I'm snatching Sydney Snyder.
That's
y'all.
A really good backup goalkeeper.
But I'm not about to. She needs to start. She gonna start for somebody.
Like, you know how I feel about Sid Snyder.
Okay. Wait. No. They got DD, so they're gonna draft a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think.
Oh wait. So you're either picking. Yeah, it's probably either Kumi or you're taking. Oh wait a minute. Or Takarada.
Yeah, I think one of
any mini money mo.
One of those two players. I mean that's an international spot, but I don't think they care.
And particularly any really watched Japan's leagues.
Yeah.
You really like Japanese really, internationals.
Japanese. Yeah, she's really big. And
they would fit
the one that played for us when she was Aston Villa, she got a really good player that anybody could have gotten if they had paid attention.
Yeah.
So she scouts that league really well. So yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of them. It's gonna be one of those.
Yeah, teams. I would lean Kumi. I don't know if they or he here. I cannot recall. So I will make sure.
Think they.
They. So I would lean Kumi just because they had more playing time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Takarada played a lot at the beginning of the year when they were still trying to figure out that front three before they settled on Sanchez, Rodman, and Hatch. But yeah, I would lean Kumi. I think that's a really good pickup. So yeah, surprisingly, we're done.
Yeah, so we're done. So we're going to take a break because we got to keep the lights on, whatever that sounds like. Oh, we got to like we got. But anyway, We will be back. After we back, we are going to open the library because there's a variety of foolery things that existed. We're going to deal with that in a concise manner. And then we'll do our hits and riffs and then rants and raves and
get on up out of here.
Yes. And talk about what else is coming this week.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back. We back.
Yes.
We got to kick open in the library because the NW still don't know how to act. Well, okay, so it's acting, but it's doing foolery.
Yes.
It's nonstop. It's like a nonstop train of fuckery. So if you're new to the show, we have the SBSC library where we read individuals. In this case, an entity known as NWSL. But we do this all the time. It's frequently. So this week's reading, scripture reading, this week's reading on the lectern, we're going to start off with marketing. Okay, so let's talk about it. So I am honestly concerned about Gotham for a number of reasons. Gotham FC, because it was interesting when you saw the trade for Ashlyn and Allie, particularly for some of the stuff they gave up to get them. And then, I mean, it was clear, you know, you're flipping goalkeepers. That's why you're doing it. But then a couple of days later, when you discover that a lot of their important players are not in contract for whatever reason, you got to go, oh, my God. Because also, this is probably the worst year for your star players like Ify Onumanu, Midge Purse, Estelle Johnson, Caprice Adasco, Mandy Freeman, Amani Dorsey. I named a lot of important people aren't in contract anymore. They've been getting offers. They haven't signed them yet. That for you to get to a point, even if you had issues with your front office to get to this point, that's concerning. But like, this was the worst year to do this because you have teams like Angel City and San Diego just ready to pick people. And then All Rain will always exist. And Kansas City is flinging money. Like, This was the worst year. And you're an expansive. Like, what is going on? So I'm concerned. But more so concerned, like, if you got to get new goalkeepers, why were you giving up the farm? Because I think, did they give up a draft pick or something?
They gave money? Up a third round. I mean, it wasn't a first round, but they gave up, I want to say, at least a mid-round draft pick and maybe some money as well.
Yeah, but I'm like, there are plenty of goalkeepers. So I'm like, so you went and got Ashlyn and Allie. And what was concerning is I think Yael in a press conference basically said that they alluded to the fact that they bring people to the stadium.
Yes.
And so then this made me frustrated because then it came me back to Carly Lloyd being there and then the marketing that happened. And then I'm just noticing trends that are concerning because here's my rant. Marketing should not be an issue to put booties in the seats in the United States of America for women's soccer ever, 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 particularly in big soccer hubs. So New York, New Jersey, Los Angeles, Southern California, San Diego, later when the Bay comes,
right?
Seattle, Portland, in particular, North Carolina.
Right.
And then even in the case of Washington, D.C., you shouldn't have issues. Even still for Houston, Orlando, Chicago, you shouldn't have issues either, particularly with diversity. So right. Then this is where we got to have conversations about what's happening in terms of marketing from a league standpoint and a team standpoint, that there is a disconnect. So even when you have all these different markets, you shouldn't have issues with diversity. You shouldn't have issues with who's coming. But I've always been wondering in terms of who in the world the NWSL and the different club teams have been marketing to, because it's like I see stuff where it's catered towards families, but these aren't the people who are buying or getting tickets for games. Like in Los Angeles, when I went to go get my premium seats, there was grown people my age in 30s, 40s, 50s, 20s, ready to slang money. And then they were buying multiple premium seats because they were like, oh, me and my homies can drink and eat. Mm-hmm. And then we can watch soccer. Because keep in mind, with the falling apart of different leagues, and you got people, soccer fanaticism is insane in this country, particularly for women's soccer.
Right.
So you get all these people coming to national team games. They too would come to NWSL games if they know about them. So right. If there is a disconnect and there's issues, particularly when you're in a city like New York, New Jersey, where people are going to Red Bull Stadium for mm-hmm. the MLS, then that's a marketing issue that we got to then talk about. Who are you marketing to and why? Because if you're just marketing to families, if you're playing in New Jersey and you're not marketing to the New Jersey area.
Right. It was just a big soccer hub.
Yeah. And then you're marketing just in New York. That's a problem because you got a dual market in New York, New Jersey. If you're not then, if you're only marketing just to with white players and you're not marketing Midge Purse, Amanu, if you're not marketing Estelle Johnson, Caprice Diasco, you can market the whole damn, like if you're not marketing all the diversity that's around your team, then there's a disconnect and missed opportunity to get different cultures to come and be in your stadium. If you're then not then ingrained in the community from an outreach perspective to then make sure you're connecting back, because you got all these kids who are coming to come watch these games. And you got adults, grown adults, ready to pregame and turn up at your stadium and watch these players. Then if you don't have a multifaceted, multidimensional approach, then you're going to be wasting the bag. And then you got to do stuff where you're getting players who are later in their career, you're offloading a lot to get them to try to put booties in the seats when you had the stuff there. And it's like, what is this marketing strategy that you do? Because this should be easy. Like New York, New Jersey is a hub. You got the U.S. Women's National Team got bajillion players from this region. And the same thing goes for the San Diego, Los Angeles. Los Angeles is right now is getting away with, you can market in certain places because you got so many people in the city that it's easy to fill up a 20,000 person stadium. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of this, at some point you got to be ready to go. Your marketing needs to also go to the Compton, to the Lawndales, to portions of to Long Beach as much as you're going to Manhattan Beach and you're going to Westwood. Like you got to be multifaceted in your approach. Similar to like San Diego, you can't just be marketing for Wave and having football allegedly as a part of your descriptor. You need to be marketing to the whole swaths of San Diego, you know, deep down, Cali, Mexicali, all the way, you know, the different communities within Brazilian, Ethiopian. You need to be marketing to everybody because they got money to throw. Same thing can be said when you're looking at DC.
Right.
When you talk about diversity, your team needs to be way more diverse than what it is. And then you need to be marketing in the DC area. It ain't Chocolate City just for play.
Right.
There should be plenty of Black folks up in your stadium. Same thing with Houston. So it's like, what are these marketing approaches that are happening? Same thing with Orlando. Orlando is largely Black and Latino, Caribbean Latino at that. So Sidney LaRue and Marta should be just as much as a pull as Alex Morgan is. And so you need to have multifaceted, multidimensional marketing strategies, or you're going to be, you know, marketing and broke and not get into these monies and then be wondering, well, we can't pack out the stadium. Because I'm tired of hearing this foolishness of like, well, it's going to be hard to get to 10,000 people in the stadium. It's not hard. It's easy, particularly for these different areas. It's a matter of what your marketing strategy is. Are you using your supporter groups? Those are groups of people who are fans of these different teams. To give you perception, are you talking to them? Are you in the community? Because they could tell you when you're doing crazy stuff. Because if you're trying to market to the basketball crowd, to the hockey crowd, to the bros who were never going to watch your game, then you're missing the point instead of embracing the people who actually watch your stuff.
Yeah.
And go out here and be great. So I'm tired of y'all fumbling the bag. I want y'all to be better and do better. And yeah, I'm done with my little rant.
You're done with your rant.
I'm done with that.
All right. So I need y'all to know my chair is like completely messing up, right? Like I keep sinking no matter what I do.
Yeah, she keeps pressing buttons, dog, but continue.
I didn't mean to press it. That's a different conversation. But like, I don't know why my chair all of a sudden doesn't want to like hydraulic up anymore.
Hydraulic, hydrate.
The thing, yeah.
Y'all, so this is fun live direct. This is live direct in podcast happening.
Yeah, I'm having chair difficulties at the moment, but that's okay. I'm comfortable. I'm just real low. I agree. I think we've talked about that often, probably more off the show than anything. But yeah, I look at a city like Houston. All your famous people from Houston are Black women, like the ones that people know off the top of their head. It's Simone Biles, it's Beyonce, it's Meg Thee Stallion. Like, there's no reason that stadium shouldn't be packed, particularly with Black folk and our siblings from the Latinx community. Like, there's no reason.
None at all.
In that city, that large. Houston's a big city, by the way. There's no reason that crowd shouldn't be more diverse than it is. I know some of Gotham's stuff is they pay to use Red Bull.
Yeah.
And that costs money. And I thought it was very interesting that outside of getting Ash and Allie, everything else they got back for the trades they made was money.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of picks, but like they essentially got a lot of money back. And so I don't know if they're using that to help sign contracts, because that was super odd that everybody was out of contract at the same time.
Right.
They pulled a Tottenham on that one. And it happens. It probably shouldn't, but it happens. And they have a new leadership. So Yael Everbridge-West is no longer the interim GM. She is the GM.
She's not.
That became official last week as well. So congratulations to her. That's a really big undertaking. But speaking of talent from New Jersey, she's one of them, right? We have a really rich connection and history to soccer jersey on the women's team. I think it's a little more dispersed now, right? So you have like the Denver area, you have the Bay, you have other places that are sort of hotbeds. But yeah, I think there's something to that. I think that's always been the issue with US soccer. I think it's white on purpose. You know that because this is not an inherently white sport with an inherently white fan base, right? It's for everybody. And that seems to be the case everywhere but here. Maybe not just here, but it's glaring here. I think the fear of losing the quote unquote fan base you've already always had, which is pretty white, moderate to conservative, quote unquote family friendly, which is makes me mad when they do that to women's sports anyway. Like, yeah, you can bring your kid, but they're athletes, they're competitive, they trash talk, they fight, they do all that
right.
stuff. But yeah, I think in the quest to keep an audience that's going to leave you anyway, you're missing out on the audience that's already there, which to me is underserved populations, right? It's your queer community. It is your queer community of color. It is people who are childless, who have more disposable income, by the way. And who have pretty good jobs and have money to spend. And that's across the board. But it's little Black and brown kids, right? Like it's everybody you're not marketing to.
Yep.
And it's everybody who's struggling to see themselves in your sport.
Well,
that's the money. That's the fan base, right? You want big dollars. One, Black and brown people do have big dollars. Like,
yep.
We are not all in the same class.
San Diego is a perfect example of this.
Yeah,
this
there's why a lot of really wild. Rich people of color, right?
In San Diego, this is why it's wild. What I am seeing from a marketing standpoint with them, like San Diego is so diverse.
Yeah,
like, and they got money.
Yeah,
to throw at your forehead.
Right, and so that club has money.
Yes.
So yeah, I think I agree. I think there's a lot of fumbling in the bag, particularly in predominantly Black or brown cities like a DC, like a Houston, like an Orlando. And then even in those spaces where I think it's wild that like my team partnered with a Black owned company and Seattle's pretty white. Also by force, they drove out all of the Black people and gentrified the Black neighborhoods. I could argue the same thing in Portland. Those tend to be two of the, if not more diverse teams, certainly with diverse initiatives. And it's hard to find up here. It ain't as easy as it is in some of the other places.
Right.
I think people are going to have to rethink this as there's a collective bargaining agreement, as free agency opens up, because now you've got to make your club an attractive spot. And all of this is included in that, right?
Yes.
how you're marketing, who you're marketing to, the kind of culture and environment that you're cultivating. You've got to sell your product. You can't just force people to stay anymore.
Right.
Right. And baseball had to do the same thing. And that's very funny that I'm bringing up baseball as they do a lockout. But like, they had to figure it out.
Right.
The NBA had to figure it out. Like, yep. All of these other leagues, and not to compare women's sports to men's sports, but everybody goes through this, right? Every league has been where the NWSL is right now. Maybe not with all the BS and the inability to protect people, but in terms of their sort of economic existence, they're not that different than any other league, especially right. In the United States. So
yes,
yeah, I completely agree. And I don't want to keep rambling because I know we're trying to keep it brief for the people.
Okay. Next.
So that sigh was on purpose. Like, that's that deep Negro spiritual sigh. So this week, or last week, I should say, it was last week, right? I don't know what time it is.
Yeah, it was last
week. Dorian Bachman was released from Racing Louisville.
Yes.
I don't think she cares if we say it that way anymore now. And in the farewell graphic, originally was her photo centrally. There was a photo on, if you're looking at it, the left of her being defended by Sofia Huerta. And on the right, there's a photo of a player with a bun, but it is not Jorian Bachman. It was Ebony Salmon. And that became a big controversy on the internet. Eventually, Jorian retweeted it and basically said, this is not the first time she's experienced issues at Racing Louisville. Great timing. She ends up going on the Two Cents podcast. Shout out to the Two Cents family.
That we're a part of.
Yes. So to talk about just a bunch of things, there's, you know, starts with casual conversation. They start with like two truths and a lie or two truths and a cap or whatever. But it eventually gets to, you know, how she got into the sport, who she looked up to. All I know, it was like Crystal Dunn and Sid LaRue, I believe, were the two really big ones. And she's from Arizona, so she's particularly fond of Sydney. But as the interview goes, and it's not too far into it, maybe 20-minute mark or so, she talks about her time at Louisville and talks about how she didn't get to train much and how they segregated starters and everybody else, and how she and another player or a couple other players would literally do like 5 minutes worth of training and then spend the rest of their time doing like square drills while they can see the rest of their team training for games. And a lot of it felt racially motivated. A lot of it is that hierarchy that Kaya mentioned earlier when she talked about the spirit. And that is really persistent and pervasive in women's soccer. And that what really kept her going was encouragement from teammates, right? I don't know if she mentioned a bunch of names. I feel like Yuki might have come up, like, and that's her personality. That absolutely makes sense.
Yes.
And that she was really able to play out the season because her teammates had her. And there were coaches who were abusive, and it's now come out that one of those coaches was a volunteer coach, which is not a thing. This should be happening at a professional level, particularly in a top flight league. Mm-hmm. And it's just absolutely something you need to listen to or watch. It's also available on YouTube, right? I could spend the rest of the episode talking about it, but, and it is triggering. So I don't, you know, want people to go into this without that knowledge. But it talks again about the pervasiveness, particularly racial harm done in this league, and how nobody's really talking about it. Nobody addresses it. And this will link into my rant in a little bit. But yeah, and I think you're a lot more articulate about sort of just some of your initial reactions when you listen to it. I mean, I was angry, as angry as I was when I listened to Kaya or read anything else. And again, we noted earlier, Joyam is now with the North Carolina Courage, who had their own issues this year, but not necessarily in the same way. But yeah, it's just, yeah. Oh, you want to talk about the reasoning that Louisville gave
for that? No. Well, no, I was going to say, well,
okay.
It was a pretty deep interview. There was stuff happening in the background. Sorry. There was a pretty
it was pretty triggering, you know, listening to what was going on in the interview. And then you could hear her processing as she was talking. But it was like, I cannot believe this foolery happened. You know, you practicing, you know, starting to practice and then being told to sit and wait. The splitting of players, starters and non-starters. Some of the toxicity she was having to deal with. It was unacceptable. And, you know, and like continue, I mean, clearly being mistreated. We could see it as fans. You know, you're like, why isn't she playing? What is going on? And so then to hear her talk through it, you know, her willingly and being vulnerable to do so. I mean, it was crazy. But then later when you do address the foolishness with the photo, that like set me off. I mean, I was already heated with her talking about what happened with her time there. But the excuse they gave for the photo, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
They were saying that the photo mistake of having Ebony be on the goodbye graphic was because it was a coding error. They sorted in the folders. First of all, what in the lie? What that is some lie. That's lying.
What kind of okay?
There's no code. Like, no. So what? They running a, like I said, y'all running a artificial intelligent Perl script to effectively sort through photos. Like, cut the bull. You literally just own up that you made a mistake and you thought the black women looked the same. Because for that photo being in grayscale, there had to be a color photo. They do not look the same.
No.
And with the buns, like, they are two different people.
No. Two like, different builds, two different everything.
Two different complexions, like.
Yeah.
So, just say you don't care, that you really don't care. Because you needed to apologize to Jorian. You also needed to apologize to Ebony.
Right.
And then sitting there lying. And the reason why Jorian even said anything is because she saw them deleting comments about what was happening and trying to act like it didn't happen. And then it took them 24 hours to respond.
Right.
Like, this is where it's clear we're not doing the work. Because for all the foolishness that happened with the investigations and stuff, and it pointed back to racism, how in the world are you then not taking the time and doing the due diligence to make sure that everything you do with your black players in particular, with your players of color, you're being super sensitive in terms of what's happening. So this doesn't happen. And even if you make a mistake, you don't immediately correct. And so it's like, you like ain't giving a damn about humanity. And right. So it's like, what are we doing? So that really pissed me off with their excuse. So what if higher-ups, but you know, just own up that you messed up, saying, well, it was the issue in protocol, da, 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 da. You had several people looking, y'all literally thought Ebony looked like Jorian. Like, that's right. Unacceptable. All you had to do was, you know, make it right. But they didn't. I really don't. I don't know what to say on that.
And again, I guess I harken back to that list too. And you can't protect everybody, right? Like, I absolutely get how stressful the expansion draft is, and how people are configuring deals, et cetera, et cetera. And Ebony Sammons protected. They cut Vanessa Cara. They cut Dorian Bakum. They didn't protect Yuki. They didn't protect Chana Matthews. They didn't protect Addison Merritt. If by chance people make choices and trades, there's a very real possibility that Ebony Salmon, and depending on how you feel about Nadia Nadim, are the only players of color on that team. And they cut Michelle Bezos.
Right.
So I'm looking at that optics wise. Again, if your intent is different, speak for yourself. But I'm telling you, as somebody who has to look at the optics of things day in and day out, the optics on that don't look great.
Yeah, don't look good at all. No.
In terms of players of color and other underserved communities. And again, I don't want to negate anyone, right? I know, like, Amina Ekich occupies, an identity. I know she's Muslim. Like, I and so it's Nadia, to my knowledge. I don't know in terms of practicing. But yeah, I think you have to be mindful. And like, yes, it's about talent, but it's also about when somebody looks a certain way, we don't give them credit for talent, et cetera, et cetera. Like, race plays into everything. And so I just think as a club, I would do a little bit of self-reflection and see what that's about, right? Like, I think you have to ask yourself those questions. And Kentucky ain't that white.
Right.
Like, it's white, but it's the South. So there's plenty of non-white people there, too.
Right.
So
even in Louisville, despite the foolery.
And I don't want to, you know, come off as this is a complete dump on them. I know they also very much stepped up and gave money with the recent tornadoes that devastated the state. So I believe they love their community. I believe they want to be a part of it. We know some fantastic Racing Louisville fans who stepped up and called their club. Like, you want your club to do well, you call your club out. I did the same thing with OL Reign when they hired Free. Like, it's you should be doing that, but there is a pattern here. And I think there needs to be a conversation and just how they've gone about some of the things and the language some of the people affiliated with that organization have used, particularly in regards to women of color.
Yes.
Needs to be discussed. And this is why you should not have only white people in your graphics, social media department.
Well, then.
Yes. That's just... Oh, that might be a perfect
segue. That's a perfect segue to your rant. You go ahead and go give
my rant will be very brief.
Let's give the gospel.
On the back of this situation, right? Stuff came up about Racing Louisville, I think particularly around one, that assistant coach who was a volunteer coach and Twitter just disappeared without any word, and the hiring and firing of Christy Holly, et cetera. And there was pushback against, you know, journalists. And full disclosure, I'm a part of Loso Media. New, but still a part of it. And there was a pushback about why aren't certain questions being asked? Why is racial harm not prioritized in the same way? Et cetera, right? And these are things we've asked on this podcast. And on the show page and other spaces. And so I want to make this clear because I'm coming at this from both sides, right? I'm a part of the media, but part of why that's such a big deal is because I can't, off the top of my head, I know we have photographers, I know we have people who write, et cetera. It might be me and one other person, but we're it in terms of Black women and WOSO media that are only doing this work, right? There are people doing other stuff as well, whether it be WNBA, NWHL, I can't remember which leagues. I know there's two hockey leagues for women who are doing other work, or, you know, you have Bria who does the Black Sports Woman, who's sort of doing a conglomerate of all things. But we're it. Like, ain't a whole lot of voices that look like Crystal Dunn or Sid LaRue or Sarah Vaughn. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, there's not proportionality there. I say this to say, I absolutely know coverage of women's soccer is underfunded, right? The ability to do a lot of investigative journalism does not exist. And the way that, you know, Molly Clancy Hensley has at the Washington Post, or even Meg Linehan has at the Athletic. And those are where the stories have mostly come from. And I understand in theory, legal protection. The reason I say in theory is because you can have cover, but I've been Black in America for 37 years. The legal system was never built for Black people. So the fear of not having legal protection doesn't hit me the same way, because they're not usually protecting my Black ass to begin with. And I say that as somebody who occupies places of privilege in Blackness, right? I know I'm lighter. I know I'm cisgendered. I know, whether I am or not, I certainly present heterosexual, right? I'm Christian, I'm educated. Like, I come from a quote unquote nuclear family, right? There are places within Blackness that I very much occupy, places of privilege. And it's also my job to shut up and pass the mic in those situations. But I say that to say, even then, I don't trust authority, I don't trust police. Like, I've been Black for 37 years. Legal protection does not mean the same thing, and to me is mostly a fallacy. That's just the reality, right? So my fears aren't going to be the same, right? The ability to ask questions are going to be different because I'm not going to be scared to ask them. But I think a big part of this always comes back to racism, right? You're missing out on the stories where you could have legal protection because you'd have participation from the players if you were simply moving from an anti-racist lens. And you were simply asking Black folk, don't just scream, listen to Black women, talk to them, Ask them, when people come to you with stories about Black players, you don't need to reject them. You need to be listening.
Well,
because it all starts from racial harm, because that is in the soil of this country. It's in the air of this country. It is what this country is built on. You stole land from the natives and you broke the backs of the Black people.
Well, then
America doesn't exist without those two narratives. Okay, I don't exist outside of America.
Yep.
There's a poet, I think she's a descendant of Thomas Jefferson, I can't remember, but she described her skin as rape color skin. That's America, right? Like, I'm very American, for yep. better or for worse. Cesspool of the country that it is. And I also work at an institution where the father of American journalism went to school. Our college is named after him. We take journalism very seriously here, right? And there are tenets and ethics and everything that you should follow. And I respect the hell out of Edward R. Murrow, because I can't imagine taking on McCarthy, right? Like, I imagine he was terrified and did it anyway because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But journalism is white.
Well, then.
The construct of journalism is really white.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, I think we've strayed away from some of those tenets that can make us better, right? With the fall of, like, hard print newspapers and things like that. But at the end of the day, you got to adapt and adjust to the time that you're in. You're not the only one that's going to get a story.
Yep.
And you've got to go where the stories are. And again, it is the most marginalized among you. And you got to be able to do the outreach.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, you're able to tell that Jory Nbakum story if Jory Nbakum is willing to come to you.
Ooh, Lord. Come on now.
Here's the deal, media, and I'm talking to you, right? Because I'm in those chats with you. I'm writing these articles with you, all of it. The Black players aren't coming to you because they know you're not doing the work. It's not about legal protection. They don't trust you, and you don't want to do the work to have them trust you. Trust is earned.
There we go.
And they have every right. Every Black player in this league has every right to tell you, and us, quite frankly, to eat shit. Because you haven't protected them since 2013 and before that, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And not only have you not protected them, some of them you've put in front of the barrel of the gun.
Well, then, come on now, bring it full circle.
And for some of those, you still haven't said, I'm sorry.
Right.
You can't even say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why would my Black ass trust you?
Well, then.
Not to get, like, deep into culture, because I know that's not what I'm talking to right now, but, like, it's a problem. And the fans won't come to you because they don't trust you either.
Mm-hmm.
I am a Black fan as well as a part of the media. I wouldn't trust you either.
Mm-hmm.
To get into this space, I have a great team. But to get into this space, I did not go directly to a white journal.
Oof, Lord Jesus. Come on now!
Which should let you know my options are very limited about who I went to. And I won't say their name. Mm-hmm. But all love, though, forever. But, like, I didn't even go directly to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't trust you.
Right.
Right. Some of it, people have earned my trust since then, but I just didn't. So I'm saying that to say, one, as you make these statements about the difficulties of being a WOSO journalist, and that's a very legitimate subject to talk about, please make them I statements, because all journalists do not have the same experience. I don't have some of the problems y'all have. Right. I look like some of the players y'all can't talk to.
Yep.
And that's an inherent trust that we have. We know all skin folk ain't kin folk, but we usually are in the trenches before we figure that out. They don't start that way.
Right.
And there's plenty of data to back up. Any child of color who sees any teacher of color will do better in that teacher of color's class. It doesn't even matter if they're the same.
Yep.
Ethnicity, race, whatever. Right.
Right.
But yeah, I just wanted to touch on that briefly because it became like a hot button issue on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I get people get defensive, but it ain't about your feelings.
Woo!
And it ain't about, mine either. That's not the job.
Woohoo!
I got into this to make this sport better and more accessible. Specifically, right. I mean, when I say this, Black folks.
Black folks.
That's not a knock on my POC people. I'm here for you too. But it starts with the work of Black folk. Most of the work in this country starts with the efforts of Black folk, and then everybody else models that stuff after them.
There we go.
And sometimes they give us credit and sometimes they don't.
Come on, where is my tambourine?
But like, this is the work. This is the self-reflection.
Yep.
You gotta sacrifice to change things. If you keep doing what you've been doing while this league has damn near been falling apart, why the hell would it change if you're not changing? If we're not changing, we're part of the problem too. We didn't protect the players either.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta sit with that. And then we gotta do the work and be better and earn their trust. Because again, they have every right not to trust us.
Right. Okay. You gotta be better, do better, be all better. Done.
And it certainly don't start with signing crypto deals. But that's a different rant for two different.
Yeah, do we even deal with that? Because basically, long story short, simplicity in terms of that crypto deal, what in the world, the league is falling apart. Why would you do that? Particularly, crypto can be shady. If you're a bro listening to this podcast, don't hop in my mentions. I'll just block you. Like, why are you doing this? Financial literacy is necessary. Financial education. I have several questions for that. I'm not going to go in that.
Yeah.
You just gave a beautiful rant on some realness.
Yeah, I think we can save that for another day.
That's
not going anywhere. But I got issues with that. I still got issues with Rise. We'll talk about that.
But you got to do some self-reflection. I mean, are you listening? Part of even how we got in, part of why I was like down to do a podcast and why I got even frustrated and how I even got a public Twitter account is because I was so frustrated hearing stuff in the media.
Mm.
Like, it was violence as a Black fan watching games.
Right.
And I got tired of it. And I got tired of seeing crazy high takes. I don't enjoy pace, power, and precision. I don't enjoy unnecessarily going off on players, hyping up mediocre white players at the expense of Black players. I got tired of that. And so when it's violence for something that's supposed to be fun, when me as a Black person on a day-to-day basis have to deal with fuckery and reminding that I'm Black in my day-to-day job, you know, whether you could be getting micromanaged or you're getting questioned, you know, you got to be careful what car you're driving because you only get pulled over. Or people, you know, walking into your expensive apartment building. Do people even think you even live there because of the color of your skin? Like, you're already reminded. So this is supposed to be a chill thing to be watching soccer on TV. But then it's violence because y'all are not doing the work and then doing things. And then even listening to press conferences can be violent because you out here trying their life.
Right. And you only ask the Black players about social justice issues.
Right.
Only,
but you don't ask the white people.
Or you put the trauma of, okay, they can't kneel. And then you put Crystal Dunn at the press conference for the national team afterwards.
Right.
Like that kind of absolute. That's violence. That is violence. Violence is not burning a cross on the lawn while you're wearing a hood.
Woo, come on now.
I'm not saying that's not part of it, but that ain't what racism looks like. It's your microaggression. It's your implicit bias.
Or flip side, you drag Sydney LaRue through the media as she's training, as she's pregnant, but then we uplift Alex Morgan to another upper echelon pedestal. What?
Right. Any of it, right? Knowing, by the way, the statistics that we do about mortality rates about people who carry children who are Black.
Yep.
Right. We know that is incredibly disproportionate. Black folk who are childbearing die at a much higher rate. So yeah. Okay. Let's end on a bad note.
Happy note. It's time for Hits and Riffs.
Yeah.
Boop, 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 boop.
I'll let you go first because it's your birthday.
It wasn't my, hold on, because this is December 14th. My birthday was on December 10th. Okay. That was the international holiday. Oh, I hope y'all had a good day. Even if you didn't, it was blessed. There are blessings bestowed upon you because it was my birthday because I am now 36. So as a result, there is a
team. Look at you claiming it.
I'm not ashamed of my 36. It's actually 35 plus one.
Yeah, all right.
Well, because I didn't celebrate my 35th birthday because of the panini, because we're still in a panarola. So I can't even go home. I'm not going to go there. This is going to make me very violent and angry. But anyway, as a result of me turning 36, even though I went to sleep at 11, I'm now old. What's good, Jew? Julian? That's my cousin, by the way. Because I don't want y'all thinking I'm saying. Anyway, what's good, Juju? Who came through? For my yesterday turn up, we got turn ups, we got quiet storms. So my yesterday turn up, which is probably what you hear at the beginning, the instrumental you hear at the beginning, it's like a remix of it. It's Your Birthday by Uncle Luke.
Wow. It's Your Birthday. Wow.
It's Your Birthday. Woo. December. With that birthday book, December. It's Your Birthday. It's Your Birthday. That song, greatness. For my quiet storm for yesterday, it's still a birthday theme. It's ampersand B-Day by Tank featuring Sia and Chris Brown. It's not really that old, but that's a fire birthday song. It is your birthday in here tonight, cause it's your birthday. So I heard a remix of that at the Kissing Ground party that happens in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. If you talk about it on Insecure. It's a real party. It's really fire. R&B grown folks get there. You get in free. You can turn up. They played a remix of this and it was fire. I had like the Ciroc in hand. I was turned. I was lit. Anyway, but yeah, that's my quiet storm. Okay, you go ahead.
All right.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I was feeling a vibe. Clearly, we'll see if the folks catch up on that. I'm not gonna do an accent. I went to the island of Jamaica this week.
Oh, you didn't tell me this. Go ahead.
I mean, this was pretty impulsive, but I was in a groove. So my yesterday turn up. Listen, this song right here is very much tied to college. No letting go. Wayne Wonder. A lot of real good times.
Okay,
I mean, a lot of real fun times were had back in Sylve's younger days to the song.
Okay. Was out here in the world.
Yesterday, Quiet Storm. Was both a good song and educational, in that it's Bum Bum,
Bum Bum
by Sista Nancy. And it's a great song on its own, but part of why I picked it is because it gets sampled a lot.
Yes, it does.
And you know this song. Like, if you hear the beginning of the song, you hear it and you probably think of another song.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely go listen to Sista Nancy, period. But like, yes, it's a very famous song. I'm gonna hit y'all to some reggae dancehall today.
Hey, let's
go. I'm going really mainstream for the most part.
You really mainstream.
But I ain't want to hit them with too much. And I'm not.
You're gonna do the other lady.
What?
What's her name?
And there's a lot.
I'll come back to that.
I don't pretend to be the most well-versed person. I'll
play a song later. But anyway, okay. So for my today turn up, it's two songs.
Okay.
So birthday song by 2 Chainz. Or it's the birthday chick or birthday biatch by Trap Beckham. It's time for the birthday. Two times for the birthday chick. Three times. Target.
Okay.
Last time, was it the Panini when this dropped? No, I was in the club. I was wilding out. People were throwing napkins and stuff. Look, Young Sky was wild, okay? Even younger Sky. Pre-pandemic Sky was out here in the world. But anyway. My today quiet storm. In the birthday theme. Look, some people like the original. I like the remix. So Birthday Sex by Jeremy. That's all I gotta say. The beat is fire. Birthday blessings. That might be how some of y'all got out here in the world. So if you're born in like September.
God. All right.
Hey, that song's fire. It was fire. The remix was, the original was aight, but the remix, the beat is fire. You probably hear this on the pod too. All right, go continue.
All right, I'll make this brief. My today turn up, keeping with the theme. So I'm gonna make sure I try to say this correctly. The Shenyang Anthem by Shinsia, who actually doesn't have an album out yet, but is a modern dance hall person. I think this song is from like 2018-ish. She's got some newer stuff out too, some really good collabs. But she's pretty dope. Like I like her. I do like Jada Kingdom as well. I know they were beefing for a while. I think that's squashed. There could be beefs in dance hall, y'all, as well. but yeah, it's a really good song, really, really good tempo. I like the vibe of it. And then today's quiet storm is Slow Down. Skip Marley.
Okay.
And her.
Ooh.
Yeah, get into it. So that name probably sounds very familiar. Skip Marley is the grandson Bob Marley, and his mother, to bring it back to the sport, is Adela Marley, who's been funding the Jamaica Women's National Team, or the Reggae Girls, as we say. And that's why he had that lit concert when they played their friendly.
Right. Make sure y'all go watch that. It was lit.
Yeah. Like 2 months ago, I'm going to say it was like October. Yeah. Whatever the other international window was. So the Marley family in general are lovers of the sport and so have really strong ties to it. And like we said, Sadella has done some really good work. And I believe she's one of the best 11 for the ICC this year for the work she's done for the national team and supporting them and making sure that they have what they need. And they always need more, so keep supporting. But yeah, it's just a really good song, nice quiet storm vibe. You know, we both love her. Like, we think she's amazing. It's a really good collabo. And I just realized how young Skip Marley is. But in the tradition of Marley's, he's not a hideous kid at all. Marley jeans are good jeans, son. but yeah, it's just a good song. He seems like a good seed. His mom's a good seed. And yeah, it's just two really talented people collabing. So get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I guess we need to do our hits, rants and raves. So I got one rant.
Okay.
Because I think you ranted out. It's real simplistic.
Oh, mine'll be super brief.
So actually, we're going to rave, then we're going to rant, then we're going to get back to raves. So.
Okay.
Candace Parker.
Yes.
And I mean, I think she's been out there. She's married, been married for 2 years. So 2 year anniversary. She posted a photo with her and her wife Petra and daughter celebrating all this, and so people had a lot of stuff to say. Most of it was celebration, but you had some people who had some statements. So here's my rant. All right, because I'm tired of seeing this crap. Let me tell you something. Playing sports is not gonna make you gay.
No.
Sexuality, gender expression, gender identity is a spectrum. Yes. So it goes across the board. So I always say, don't assume anything. Most importantly, stop projecting your beliefs and don't just tolerate people, respect people's humanity. Because when you do those things, then you don't make crazy assumptions on stuff and you don't get in your feelings and you don't end up getting homophobic or LGBT phobic or feeling kind of ways or thinking people should do. And you live a good, happy, blessed life. And then you can enjoy beautiful stories. I say that because some people were saying stuff like, well, I'm not going to have my kid play basketball and basketball made her get like. If she's part of family. Like, like what?
That's
what,
not how sports work.
And yeah, sports don't work like that. Like, it don't. You play sports, you done then don't just inhale glitter and hit the rainbows like that. It don't work like that. Again, sexuality, gender identity, gender expression spectrum. Honestly, in the United States in particular, if we stop being ridiculous in terms of education, man, it would save so many people so much heartache and struggle as they evolve and grow up. If this was just clear and understood. I mean, I went through my journey and being accepted. Part of why I even stopped playing basketball is because as I was working through being comfortable in my sexuality, some of the things that were being said in regards to me playing basketball, like it's not true. And hearing even NBA players talk about they won't want their daughters playing because they don't want to be like, no, like you're going to be gay. If somebody's gay, they're going to be gay regardless. So stop making this false fallacy. False fake news vibe that sports, soccer, basketball, softball, anything make you gay. You are born how you are, and it is what it is. And y'all just need to stop being hateful and embrace and love people and respect humanity. Stop being bitch made, be A grade. Anyway, that's my rant. Okay. So
all right. I mean,
let's get into race.
Yeah, let's just get in the race. I was gonna say these plane ticket prices are too damn high. That's about it.
Yeah, they are too high. I can't go. If Delta, you ain't shit. Sorry, you are.
I mean, they all high, but
in two weeks, you'll be
y'all robbing people right now. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's get into these raves and I'll sneak the last one in at the end. Mm-hmm. First rave, shout out to Meg Thee Stallion, who graduated from Texas Southern University and walked with her class.
Look at her.
And got a congressional medal and a shout out from the Secretary of Education in the process. But there are many ways to do life. Meg is, I think, she started, stopped, obviously, had a career. Unfortunately, lost her mother, I think, in 2015, 2015. I can't remember the exact year, but also made a promise to her mother that she would complete her degree and did.
Yep.
And so we're all very, very proud of her. Y'all are ridiculous. I don't think everybody needs a college degree, but we also not gonna pretend that getting one isn't a big deal, no matter who it is.
Right.
And she is proud of herself and we are proud of her.
Turn up, girl.
You did the damn thing. You can do anything you want.
Here we go.
You can, with the right people and the right support. And so I love to see that. I'm glad my students get to see that. So next shout out, I just wanted to shout out Krenta Brunson, because like I remember seeing her like back in the early BuzzFeed days. Woo! Like her come up in like Abbott Elementary is hilarious. It's very accurate. It's very accurate about what it is to be a public school teacher, particularly in schools that don't get funding. I think it's based, you know, on Philadelphia, where she's from. But I just wanted to tip my hat to the short queen herself, and really just the success she's done it. It's been pretty damn organic.
Hey.
So we're really here for Black women to vibe like that. Shout out to Jasmine Spencer.
Hey.
I just wanted to shout out Jazz It Up, which is her clothing company, eco-friendly. They give 10% of the profits to different groups that they're working with. And I know they went down a couple of weeks ago to Houma, Louisiana, which is wild because one of the groups I used to work with also went to Houma, Louisiana, and then Mississippi right after Katrina. But was doing and getting dirty, had on her full suit and everything, was doing restoration projects in Houma after Hurricane Ida obviously destroyed that town earlier this year. So shout out to her, and we just always want to big up Black businesswomen, particularly those that play soccer.
Hey.
And my last shout out is ain't nothing shea butter adjacent, but this is for Sky and myself. Tigra said that one leg was real cute.
Right.
But we just wanted to shout out Tigra for absolutely.
Was good.
Using violence yesterday.
Violence. It was very violent. That was a beautiful game. It was violent.
It was. And that top Ben's goal. My God.
Woo, that was sexy.
And that goal's everywhere. You can look at it on my Twitter page. Liliana top Ben's.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the reigning Ballon d'Or, which is
Aura,
winner, which is the first one they've given to women in Liga MX for the now. But so she's one of the best players in Mexico.
Right.
And I don't think she gets talked about in the same breath as Alicia and Stephanie and some of the others. But yeah, she's dope, and maybe she won't be in Liga MX forever.
I'm not in the city. Sorry.
Okay. But yeah, we just wanted to shout out all of them.
As you normally on each week, much love to Yogi, Can I Kick It? all the Forticulture United, everybody, Neymama, a bajillion people, Grego, Rashad, Mark, Coach, Tony, birthday twin, was good.
A little sad.
Light skinned brother, TK.
Yes.
Man, did I? People I didn't even know. They're probably people we never knew.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, you're talking about this FCC. Yeah. This is more. I'm like, man, are you naming people?
Kaya. Another law school acceptance.
Just out here playing the game.
Hanging out in Chicago. In Liddy.
With the god.
Sarah with the god, Sarah Gordon.
Oh.
2 cents.
Yes.
L. Ty.
Yeah.
Emoji. Everybody. Emoji.
And so a special shout out to Moby and Elle for a hell of an interview with Jordan.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. Amazing.
And needed. And it wasn't just the Louisville stuff. We talked about gaming. They talked about sneakers. Yeah. They did really fun stuff. So it wasn't just that, but it was a story that needed to be told.
Yeah.
And so I'm really glad she had a safe space that's a Black space to be able to tell it.
And 2 cents, whole family.
Proud to be a part of it, as always.
What's good, Coach Courtney Stiff and Andre the Giant?
Favorite Halloween costume.
My bad. Oh, wait a minute. The Battle Royale was won by Andre the Giant.
Yes.
I had a Twitter poll. Over 200 some people voted.
It was.
Oh man, they're gonna kill me. Yeah, Andre. So the choices were Andre, Courtney Stiff, who is tall as hell too.
Yeah.
The slide for the playground and Casey Murphy. And Andre won. Courtney Stiff, you were still tall. Don't get it twisted. Courtney tall too, y'all. She 5'10". She a basketball player. She can cross you over. But yeah. What's good, y'all? This is gonna be so
But yeah, I guess quickly,
this week,
a little taste for the people.
Yeah, this week we're going to do something we haven't done before.
Yeah,
we're going to live pod the expansion draft and the college draft. What? We have lost our minds. We're going to do this for y'all.
Please keep in mind, we said we have never done this before, so it could go really well. It could go real left. Or yeah, it might be both. Maybe y'all enjoy going left.
Yeah, it's going to be, we're going to do it. That's news to you. That's news to us. We are planning for it. We're going to have our lives together. And then, I guess the next episode after that may be a Christmas episode situation. There's going to be some jingle bells. So if you got your little favorite Christmas songs.
Yeah, I saved the Christmas songs.
We got all kinds of stuff. We got Christmas songs. It's time for some Luther and some Mariah and some whoever. And some, actually, 69 Boys.
Oh, God.
Some What You Want for Christmas, Shawty. When I find the instrumental, it's over. But anyway, we will get into it.
I got a Christmas song.
Oh yeah, also Tamia. I played the Tamia Christmas song like in the summer though, because it's so beautiful.
She's got the voices.
Phenomenal. Amazing. Yeah. But anyway, we will reveal all these things in upcoming eps. Get ready. You thought you seen The Last of Us? Nah, we gonna be here because we off work. But anyway, in the meantime, between time, we gonna stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
And actually, y'all need to make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
Absolutely. And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And have a great week. But we'll see you soon, because you're going to see us like this week, like in a couple of days, like Thursday. Anyway, peace.
Peace out.